Blog Talk Radio.
Hello?
1 second. Right, you are listening to Fantasy Squads Radio. My name is David Kerr from FantasySquads.com, and this is the Weekend MLB DFS Podcast from FantasySquads.com. We had some technical issues if you were listening to the first show live, but I deleted that and got a restart on the show here, so we are live. We're good to go. And we are going to be here till about 6 o'clock Eastern time with DFS talk for tonight. Looking ahead at the slate of games, we got 9 games going on. Several this afternoon, 6 games going on this afternoon. A couple are over by now, but we have Seattle and Oakland on in the background and getting ready for the night slate. So check out fantasysquads.com, especially our DFS stuff that we have going on. My guest is Matt McComb, and I'm going to bring him on in a second, but we offer premium packages at Fantasy Squads. $5 for 3 lineups. That's weekend lineups, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Also, if you want to pay, that's $5. $10 will get you 2 weekends worth of lineups, and also a lineup on Tuesday, and this is for FanDuel and DraftKings. So you get a double dose there if you go that route. So I want to bring on my guest, though, Matt McComb. We're going to probably hopefully be doing this every single Saturday, at least to start, and who knows, maybe more than that if it goes well. So, Matt, how's it going tonight?
It's going great. The early games look great. I'm up in my games there, so I'm pretty excited about that and looking forward to the afternoon.
Yeah, I am too. Afternoon for you. You're on the West Coast. Evening for me.
That's right. California.
Yeah, that's true. All right, so let's take a look. Last night was the first night that we offered the premium service of Fantasy Squads. Sent out a DraftKings cash game lineup that scored 91.35 points. That was good enough to cash. It bubbled a little bit, but it was good enough to cash at the end of the night for most of the 50-50s that I saw. So you also recommended Pedro Alvarez as a GPP play. He did very well last night. Drew Pomerantz is a GPP play. We saw what he did against the Mariners. Giancarlo Stanton, even though he's always expensive, you recommended him last night, and he did well. The other thing I wanted to mention is that you recommended the Marlins as a sneaky stack last night, and they did exactly what you envisioned they would, and they put up a lot of runs, and we saw production out of Michael Morse, saw production out of D. Gordon, saw production out of Giancarlo Stanton. And one other standout that you had, you weren't really comfortable with a lot of players at second base. You kind of punted it. You used Neil Walker, and Walker had a great game. So,
yeah, I love the Walker matchup.
Yeah. Your thoughts on last night's slate, and then we'll do a little general DFS discussion, then we'll start talking about tonight's games.
Yeah, so I'll say the one player or two players I feel that I really missed out on. You know, you can't always predict when a random player is going to have a great game. And, you know, it's not really productive to go look and say, oh, if only I'd picked so-and-so and they'd hit 3 home runs and I should have seen that coming. But, you know, there were a couple players that I feel like I should have had a little more exposure to. One of them was Yasmani Grandal, who had a great matchup for the Dodgers and was hitting 5th in the order that night, you know, behind guys like Puig and Adrian Gonzalez. And he put up a nice game. I think he scored 14 or 16 DraftKings points. And then, obviously, you know, Joey Votto, who hit 2 home runs. And even stole a base, so he had 39 DraftKings points. And, you know, Grandal should have been on my radar just because of the spot in the lineup. You know, in a powerful lineup like that, you always want the guys who are hitting 1-5. They're always interesting. And then Votto, you know, he had a down year last year, and he came into camp healthy this year, and it's just kind of a good reminder that, you know, he's still a superstar, And even in a matchup that doesn't look great, you know, he's just one of those guys that can always put up a really great game, kind of like, you know, Stanton or Trout. And when you're building GPP lineups, if you do multi-entry and you try to have a lot of exposure to different players, you know, he's one of those guys that you want to have on your list. He was pretty reasonably priced last night. But overall, I'm pretty happy with how it went. You know, opening week is pretty tough to predict because you have really weird pitching schedules and you've got all the aces on day one. By the time you get towards like the Thursday and Friday of opening week, you've got all the number four and five starters. You know, Gio Gonzalez was the by far and away best pitcher on the slate, but he put up a pretty mediocre game. But he was, you know, 60-70% owned in cash games, so it didn't hurt too badly.
Yeah, he was.
But, you know, so
go ahead.
Oh, go ahead.
I thought you were done. Go ahead.
Not quite. No, I'm rambling. But, you know, it gets more interesting as the season shifts and the schedules offset a little bit so you don't just have a day where you have eight aces pitching. You know, that's where I think the real skill comes into DFS is when you have to pick and choose between a wider variety of players and matchups. So I'm looking forward to it in the next few weeks.
As we all are. Definitely. 347-855-8714 is the call-in number. If you want to call in with questions for tonight's slate, we'll answer them for you. At least Matt will. I'll give my 2 cents, but Matt'll be here to answer them for you. Also, if you call in, I'll give you a cheat sheet for tonight. Lineups and a cheat sheet for tonight. So if you call in, I'll give you a freebie tonight. 347-855-8714 if you're listening live, which I hope you are. All right, let's take a look at the weather for tonight. Let's just go over it quickly. I don't think there's much much of a chance that we're going to see some bad weather, but let's just take a look here. In fact, you know what? There's not really much to look at. No chance of rain tonight anywhere. All the rain is
really
clear. Yeah, everything's clear. So don't worry about rain. That's the least of your worries. There are going to be no weather issues. Crazy. There's not even a percent chance that it's going to rain in any home team ballpark tonight. So that's good. We're going to have a full 9-game slate and without weather concerns. So that's definitely a good thing, a real good thing. Okay, so let's get into a little general discussion here, and then we'll hit tonight's slate of games and figure out who we should be playing, who some value picks are, who some punt plays are, and the likes like that. So just bringing this up here. Whenever you do a live show like this, you got to pull it many different ways because so much going on. Okay. All right. So let's talk about your general philosophy towards DFS here. A couple of pointers that I want you to hit on, and then we'll hit the schedule for today. First off is, how do you select your pitchers? What is it that you put into it to choose your pitchers each and every day?
Yeah, so pitching, I think, is the most important position in DFS because it's the most predictable. You know, Mike Trout's going to go 0-for-4 fairly often, or 1-for-4, whereas, you know, Clayton Kershaw only really had one bad start last year where he got lit up by the Diamondbacks. So, you know, pitching, if you nail your pitching, you're in a really good position to cash in cash games. And so for cash games, I tend to look for safe pitchers. I don't tend to look for, you know, risky or upside pitchers. So, you know, early in the year, that's actually cost me in a couple of occasions where I've, you know, been wary of selecting, like, say, Drew Pomeranz, who I loved as a GPP play last night, but I was a little wary of him as a cash game. He's a young guy. He's, you know, first start of the year. I try to stick to more established guys. But as the season goes on, you get more history behind the pitchers, and, you know, you see how they've done to that point in the season. So the best stat for predicting pitcher success, in my mind, is strikeouts. First off, strikeouts are tremendously valuable, right? They're worth, you know, points on DraftKings and FanDuel. They're worth, I can't remember off the top of my head, it's 2 points on DraftKings and 1 point on FanDuel. And if you can get a guy who strikes out, you know, hitter per inning or more, that'll make up for, you know, a few mistakes or, you know, a couple of earned runs. So, you know, strikeouts, number one. Look for a guy who limits walks, right? Pitchers don't have a whole lot of control over what happens once the ball is put in play. So, you know, any pitcher can lose due to some bad ground balls going in the wrong spot. So I look for pitchers who can control, you know, who do control what they can control, which is strike out a lot of guys, don't walk a lot of guys. You know, obviously I look for matchup as well, you know, teams that are really heavily favored to win, and I lean heavily on the Vegas odd lines there. So, you know, last night I picked Dan Heron, who was up against a pretty mediocre offense in his home ballpark, heavily favored. You know, the bullpen managed to blow it and blow a 7-run lead for the Marlins, and that'll happen. But, you know, you look for guys who are going to get the win, especially on FanDuel, where the win is worth 4 points, which can be, you know, 10% of the score you need to get to the cash line in a 50-50. Beyond that, you know, handedness, stadium they're in, obviously everyone knows Coors Field is a nightmare to pitch in. But there are other stadiums that play a little differently. Like, for example, the Cleveland Indians stadium is very pitcher-friendly if you're going up against right-handed batters, but it's very hitter-friendly for left-handed batters. So lefties pitching in Cleveland or visiting lineups that are really right-handed heavy, I'll target pitchers there. You know, you just got to study all the different factors. There's a whole lot that goes into it. But the most important are strikeouts, walks, and stadium.
Okay. Next thing, what's your general cash game philosophy? You mentioned that you like to stay with safe pitchers, which is obviously something that I do too. I think I always kind of look at it the opposite of season-long leagues, where you don't want to overpay for pitching, but in DFS leagues, I feel like you should be paying for pitching because you want more of a guarantee. If you own Taijuan Walker last night, there's no way you cashed. I mean, there's absolutely no way you cashed anywhere because he just got blasted. And he had a good matchup against the A's, but he struggled with control all night. And he put up, I think, like negative 12 points on DraftKings, which just buries you. You know, if you had him for the all-night slate and paired him with Gio Gonzalez or something, they basically canceled each other out, and you put up a zero pitcher, which is you're not going to win anything doing that. So, general cash game philosophy, what you got?
Yeah, so I totally agree with you. It's, you know, pitcher heavy. That's a lesson I learned really quickly when I started playing DFS, as I've been a season one player for a long time, and I realized I had to change that mentality very quickly in order to succeed. Like I said, pitching is more predictable, so you know you want to invest in your pitchers. You know, Kershaw is a guy that's always a bit polarizing when he's pitching because he's the best pitcher in the game, but he's so damn expensive that it makes it tough to build a lineup around him. For cash games, I will almost always go with Kershaw because, you know, you won't always win, but, you know, I counted this earlier today. I want to say like 22 out of his 27 starts last year, he would have hit value, which is about 3 times his price, you know, 7-8 innings pitched, 1 or 2 runs, and coming away with a win. So, you know, he's expensive, but the consistency you get from him is tremendous. And then other than that, I look for safe hitters. So, you know, I tend to separate hitters into two buckets. There's the, you know, GPP upside hitters, which are guys like, say, Mark Trumbo, who will go 1-for-4 all quite often, or over 4, but, you know, he can put 2 home runs out really easily. He's got multi-homer upside. You know, Mark Trumbo is a guy who's totally a GPP play for me. Whereas, you know, for a cash game play, I look for guys with a high on-base percentage, guys who hit high up in the order so they get a good chance at having an extra at-bat. You know, guys that are in a good lineup, obviously you want to target guys against weak pitchers when they have platoon advantage. So, you know, some really core cash game guys for me right now are Christian Yelich, you know, leadoff hitter for the Marlins, great on-base guy. I want to say his on-base percentage was something like, I don't know, 380 last year. And also value guys. You know, you need to find your value guys, and so there you look for guys who hit high up in the order, who make good contact, right? Guys like Joe Panik and Jace Peterson, the second baseman for the Braves right now, super cheap. You know, I think Jace Peterson's min price on FanDuel today. Joe Panik's 2,400 on FanDuel, 3,200 on DraftKings. You know, they put the ball in play a lot, hard to strike out. So, you know, when you get 4 or 5 ABs and you're putting the ball in play, you know, every single AB, it's a good chance you're going to end up with 2 hits, maybe a run, maybe a double. And it'll put a low price. That's all you need to do. And again, when you're going with someone like Kershaw, you need to find that kind of value. So yeah, just to, you know, kind of quickly summarize, contact hitters, high OBP guys, you know, consistent guys. You don't want super streaky hitters and guys that hit high up in the order.
Yeah. Whenever I'm compiling lineups, I do tend to try to find guys that are batting higher in the order, more at bats, obviously. And more opportunities to score or drive and run. So I want to try to try to avoid those plays. A play for tonight that I like. Now, if you were if you're playing on DraftKings, $3,100 if you're going to punt catcher. Look at Francisco Cervelli. He's batting second tonight for the Pirates. So
have you looked at the sheet for today yet? Because he's on there.
I'm working on sending it out as we do the podcast, but I saved it to the computer and then I was working on getting it out. I haven't even looked at it yet, but I noticed that, or I was looking at lineups before we went on the show or went on the air and saw that Cervelli's batting second tonight. So that is the kind of punt play can't always call it a punt play, but he's going to see four at bats and when normally he's going to be batting seventh or eighth, and you know he may only see three. He might see five at bats tonight. So, I mean, if you're going to punt or whatever a position catcher, you know, a guy that's going to be batting second tonight, he's a good play tonight. And Matt has him down as a play as well. So, whenever you're looking to build a lineup, how do you go about finding value for it?
Just what you said, you know, look for guys that that are hitting in a different spot in the order than they usually do. So, you know, some teams are more flexible with their lineups than others, and they move people around more often. And those teams are often great targets. You know, the Rays, the Athletics, they switch their lineup around all the time. And so, you know, a guy gets priced based on his recent performance, his recent, place in the lineup, you know, his recent points earned. And so moving in the lineup can create a significant opportunity where he's, you know, you have a guy whose price is that he's batting eighth, but he's actually batting first, which means, you know, more expected production. You know, Cervelli's good. Panic's a guy that I love because he's 3,200 on DraftKings. He never strikes out. He, he puts the ball in play and he bats second for, you know, a decent offense. And then sometimes I just look for guys, you know, sometimes guys will be underpriced based on slumps. And statistically speaking, and this is a really important thing to know if you're going to play DFS, slumps don't exist in baseball, nor do hot streaks for hitters. There's no statistical proof that shows that, you know, a guy who's gone 0-for-4 for the last five games is any more or less likely to get hits the next night. So, you know, FanDuel and DraftKings base their prices on recent performance, so you can watch a guy drop in price due to, you know, having a slump, and you can pick him up at a discount. So, you know, I look for that. And I look for guys that have extreme platoon splits. Guys like Matt Joyce are often some of my favorite guys to have because, you know, Joyce is only going to play against a right-handed pitcher, so his overall stats end up a little bit lower, and thus his price ends up a little bit lower. Like, Joyce is hitting cleanup tonight for the Angels, and he's going up against Jeremy Guthrie, who's a pretty mediocre pitcher, and Joyce is 3,900 on DraftKings, you know, compared to, say, Trout, no doubt a better player, but 5,600, and Pujols is 4,600. So you can get Joyce for $700 less than Pujols, fill up an outfield slot with the guy who's hitting cleanup in what should be a high-scoring offense. So, yeah, platoon guys, Scott Van Slyke's another one of my favorite guys there. Just look for guys with extreme platoon splits that you can exploit, and guys that move around the lineup.
Okay. GPPs, tournaments, you put couple bucks in and you hope to win $20,000, which people do it every day. So one day you're going to hit big. If you're listening to this, you're going to hit big. Just keep plugging away. What's your general GPP philosophy?
Yeah. So in baseball, GPPs, I guess you could say, have been solved to some extent. The majority of GPPs are won by someone employing a stacking strategy where you stack a bunch of hitters from one team. It's a little easier on DraftKings where you're allowed to use six hitters from one team. On FanDuel, you can only use four. But, you know, you line up your four or six favorite hitters from one team, and the idea being, you know, if a team goes off for 10 runs, those guys are in the middle of it, and they're all scoring a bunch of points because they're, you know, driving each other in, and they're on base when the other guy gets hit. But it's become such a common strategy that I've begun to look for ways to differentiate that a little bit. So, you know, on DraftKings, if you look at GPPs, the majority of lineups tend to have six stacks where you've got six players from one team, and most commonly they're the 1-6 hitters. So I'll try to differentiate a little bit by doing stacks of four or five players instead of six, or maybe go, you know, hitters, you know, 1-4 and then 6, 7, 8, just to try to achieve a little bit of differentiation. You know, it's a higher risk move, but, you know, if you end up at the top of the leaderboard, you want to be there alone. You want to try and find plays where you're going to either, you know, win alone or lose alone. You know, it's not as fun if you're in the middle of a, you know, group of 50 players who all stack the same Rockies, and you're all, you know, competing for those top spots, but you're not likely to end up with it. So you've got to find a way to differentiate yourself a little bit.
Okay. How to cope with variance. How do you do that?
Oh, yes. Yeah. So baseball is, of the major sports, you know, baseball is the highest variance. In football, you know that your quarterback and running backs are going to score points. You know, you generally can predict receivers reasonably well. In basketball, you know, your minutes equal points. You can map that equation out pretty easily given, you know, expected production. And basketball is probably the most projectable. Whereas baseball, you know, like I said, Mike Trout goes 0-for-4. Kyle Kendrick throws 7 shutout innings against the Brewers at home on opening day. You know, who saw that coming? But the important thing to remember about baseball is that it's, you know, 162 games per team, so you've got, what, 180 or so days of games to play. And so the most important thing is just don't put too much emphasis on any one day. And don't let results screw with your process. You need to focus on the process of selecting players, not on the results on a day-to-day basis. You know, you can identify that maybe Mike Trout is a bargain today, right? I thought he was a bargain yesterday. He was the 13th highest priced hitter on the board, and he was up against a mediocre left-handed pitcher. So I thought he was a great bargain. I'd still stick by that. I'd still make that pick, but he didn't do anything. That's just the nature of baseball. So, you know, you have to focus on your process. If you focus too much on your results and you say, oh, I randomly threw darts at the board and picked this lineup and they cashed in a 50-50 or they cashed in a GPP, so there's my new strategy for picking players, you know, you're unlikely to be successful. So, you know, find your strategy and your process and stick to it and let it work out. You know, the best players in the world will have weeks or even months where they lose money. It's just the nature of the game, and you just have to focus on the process and keep making good picks. And, of course, practice good bankroll management. You know, if you're betting 50% of your bankroll every night, the variance will obliterate you. You'll be broke in no time. So, you know, practice good bankroll management. A good rule of thumb is bet, you know, no more than 10% of your bankroll per night. So I tend to stick to between 5 and 10%. I'll vary it a little bit depending on how confident I am or depending on if there's overlay available. You know, I'll bet a little more. But you've got to practice good bankroll management and just be really, really rigid. You know, be really disciplined in your bankroll management. Don't try and say, oh, I lost, so I'm going to double up tomorrow. You know, it's a really, really common and easy thing to think. But
it's
know,
a very common and easy thing to think.
Yeah,
it's very
so, you know,
common
bankroll
and easy
management.
Yeah.
It's all about, yeah, you know, just being at peace. You've got to trust your process. If you have a good process, you're going to win over time. But, you know, acknowledge that over time means you could have a month where you lose money, and you have to be willing to accept that.
If you are listening live, you should listen to the first 50 minutes of the show on demand. Matt McComb, our DFS expert at fantasysquads.com, just went through his thought process whenever it comes to compiling lineups on a daily basis. So that's something that you need to look at because, you know, we can get advice from 100 different people, but at the end of the day, you make your own lineups. And while, you know, Matt can give you good picks and I could give you good picks and any other fantasy expert or DFS expert could give you good picks, you're the one submitting your lineups. So it's good to have a process, and it's good to know exactly you know, where you're coming from whenever you make your lineups on a daily basis. And remember, no more than 10% of your bankroll every day, because you don't want to go broke. All right, let's talk about tonight's games. Let's get into that, and let's bring up the slate. Let's start. I want to go through. Actually, what I'm going to do, Matt, is we'll go through each game. We'll do that in a bit, in case you want to, if you want to pull a name or two from each game that you'd be targeting tonight, maybe a name or two that you'd be avoiding. We'll do that in a second. But first, let's just look overall at the odds today and the pitchers to target. In Washington and Philadelphia, the consensus Vegas odds, I use VegasInsider.com to look at the Vegas odds. It puts a lot of different bettors together, combines them, and then gives you one consensus. You're looking at a 6.5 under, over-under for that game. Washington and Philadelphia, Doug Fister up against Cole Hamels tonight. Are you targeting either of these pitchers in either cash or GPP games?
A bit in GPP. both those lineups are pretty depleted. You know, Washington due to injuries and Phillies due to the way they've horribly mismanaged their team over the last 5 years. Both those lineups are pretty weak. So, you know, I'm targeting both of them in GPPs. Maybe a little bit of Cole Hamels in cash. I do have him as, you know, he's going to – I think he's likely to strike out as many guys as Kershaw tonight against that depleted Nationals lineup. So, yeah, I like them both. You know, Fister a little bit less because he doesn't have the strikeout upside, but he also comes a good bit cheaper, especially on DraftKings.
Okay. On DraftKings, yeah, DraftKings, Hamels is priced at 10,200, Fister at 7,800. So there's definitely a considerable price difference between the two. Fister's has always been an innings eater. So he's, you know, and he keeps the ratios good. Now, that doesn't really matter as much in DFS as it does in season-long fantasy because we're not looking at ERA and WHIP. Here, you know, this is basically kind of like a points league, a daily points league. So Fister, yeah, I mean, I kind of like Fister in GPPs tonight, to be honest with you, because I think, you know, he's just a guy that always gets it done, and I think he should be good for seven innings and maybe four or five strikeouts while limiting the hits and the walks. The Mets are in Atlanta. Dylan G against Julio Teheran, 6.5 over. Atlanta's favored this game with Teheran on the mound. You like either of these plays? I'm sure G's not a guy that you'd be looking at, but Teheran at all?
You know, not really. He's a promising young pitcher, but he really outpitched his peripherals last year. His ERA was way lower than the advanced metrics like FIP and xFIP expected it to be. I think he's got a bright future, and the Mets are not too imposing of an offense, but he doesn't have a great offense behind him. And, you know, he's pretty pricey. He's not cheap. If he was, you know, 8,300 instead of 9,300 on DraftKings, I'd be interested. But, you know, get him that price range, and it's not that much farther to reach for Hamels or Shields.
Okay. Next game. We're just talking about pitchers here. We will obviously get into hitters and stacks and that kind of stuff in a bit. If you want to call in, 347-855-8714, we'll be here till about 6 o'clock or maybe a little bit after, previewing tonight's slate of games. If you call in, I'll give you a cheat sheet for tonight. DraftKings lineup, FanDuel lineup, and GPP plays all over the place, pitchers and hitters. Milwaukee and Pittsburgh at 8 under line tonight. Milwaukee slightly favored. Vance Worley taking the hill for Pittsburgh. Jimmy Nelson for the Brewers. I would assume we're avoiding both of these pitchers tonight.
You know, I think that Jimmy Nelson could make, I mean, he's really risky, but he could make an interesting differentiator as a GPP play. McCutcheon's not in the lineup tonight for the Pirates. And I don't know why. You know, their lineup is still pretty potent even without him. But, you know, his absence makes Nelson maybe a little attractive. Like I said, you know, high risk. But if you're looking to win a GPP, you need to find, you know, some kind of high-risk play to hit on in order to do it. So I'll probably have a little bit of exposure to Nelson, not much.
Okay. And then that's the game we talked about. Francisco Cervelli is going to be batting second. He's 3,400 on DraftKings. I said he was 3,100. 3,400, but that's still a solid price. Colorado and Chicago, we got Jason Hamill squaring off against Kyle Kendrick. 10 over is the line on this. I don't know about this game. If you really want to punt a pitcher, maybe look at Kyle Kendrick at home. He had a nice game against the Brewers, but you know this is a complete hit or miss pick here. Either of these guys, Hamill or Kendrick?
I will say I have one lineup with Kendrick. It's a Kendrick Kershaw combination because, you know, normally when you go with someone like Kershaw, there's a lot of batters that just aren't available to you. And so, you know, it's a differentiator. It's a way of differentiating, you know, from the other Kershaw stacks because I'll have hitters available to me that aren't available to any of the other Kershaw owners. And, you know, it's a little crazy. I don't expect it to go off. But, you know, Kyle Kendrick does fit the profile of a guy who can be successful at Coors. He's a sinker baller. You know, at Coors Field, you don't want to rely on guys who have a lot of breaking pitches because the pitches don't break as well, but ground ball pitchers can do a little better. And the Cubs lineup, you know, everyone says it's supposed to be really promising and they're, you know, supposed to have a great year. When Chris Bryant gets called up, the lineup looks a lot different. But so far, they haven't been that imposing. So, you know, I absolutely would never touch Kendrick as a cash game play, and I'm not going to have a lot of exposure to him, but I am going to take one flyer.
Okay, that's a scary game to go
probably
into.
Crazy.
Yeah, well, it's a GP. He's a GPP play. He had it. Hey, you know what? On opening day, I liked the Brewers at home. The Rockies aren't a good road team traditionally, and I had some stock of Kyle Loesch in GPPs, and you know what happened there. So Kendrick went out and had a nice game. So maybe he can do it again at Coors Field tonight. Okay.
Yeah, and that's one of the interesting things about baseball is that, you know, it's not as projectable and it is possible that any player can have a good game. And you know, you have to be careful with that because it's easy to say, oh, I'll just, you know, try to get exposure to every single player on the board, which is, you know, insane. But you have to try and make some smart differentiating choices.
Big arm pitcher of the night, one of them, the biggest. The Dodgers are in Arizona tonight for an 8:10 start, 8:10 Eastern time start. Line is 7 over. Dodgers are favorites in this game, obviously, with Kershaw on the mound. He's squaring off against Archie Bradley. You mentioned it earlier in the show. Kershaw had his worst start of the season last year against the Diamondbacks. Do you have any concern whatsoever, or is it just Kershaw, who cares?
It's just, you know, it's Kershaw, who cares, right? Every great pitcher will get lit up every once in a while. You know, Kershaw has it happen to him less frequently than anyone else, but someone's got to be the, you know, the bad guy. And if a memory serves, it happened to him a little later in the season, you know, in the summer when the balls really start flying out of the park in Arizona. It's still earlier in the year. The weather's not as warm. The air is still a little denser. It shouldn't be, you know, the hitter park factor is not quite as intense as it will be later in the year. And yeah, it's Kershaw, right? I'm willing, you know, he's the kind of guy, trust, and I'm willing to live and die by in my cash games. And, you know, if I pick him every time and he'll deliver, you know, 75% of the time, that's good by me.
Yeah, and he's going to deliver at least 75% of the time because that's what he does. So, okay, you mentioned that I think you were talking about Cole Hamels, that he can match Kershaw's strikeouts tonight. What are you thinking for Kershaw tonight? Eight, nine strikeouts against the Diamondbacks?
My best, you know, the Diamondbacks are not a very patient team. they do have guys who strike out a lot, like Trumbo and Owings and Hill. You know, they're only really scary hitters for Kershaw are going to be Goldschmidt, obviously, and maybe A.J. Pollock. So, yeah, I can see him going 7 or 8 and getting, you know, racking up 8 to 10 strikeouts and getting the win. And, you know, he's up against Archie Bradley, who, you know, super high-profile prospect but hasn't put it together yet. You know, he had a nice spring training, but last year he was, you know, he struggled in the minors. So, you know, I think the Dodgers are heavy favorites for a good reason. You know, I expect them to easily come away with the win, and that's, you know, extra points for Kershaw.
All right. In San Diego, the Padres are hosting the Giants. We've got a pitcher's duel here. Madison Bumgarner up against James Shields. Line, the over-under here, 6 under. So this isn't expected to be a high-scoring game, obviously, with these two guys on the mound. Let's talk pricing here on DraftKings, and then I'll also touch on FanDuel. Kershaw's priced at 12.3. Bumgarner's priced at 10.8. Shields is priced at 9.8. Bumgarner being over 1,000 cheaper, 1,500 cheaper, really. Doesn't make you want to throw Bumgarner in there? I mean, he has a pretty solid matchup against the Padres. Had a good first outing. You know, you could save $1,500 and use it somewhere else. Have you considered that, or are you 100% on Kershaw tonight?
For cash, no. I'm on Kershaw, and the reasons are, part of it's the matchup. You know, Kershaw, I think, is much more likely to come away with a win than Bumgarner is. You know, James Shields, also a tough pitcher. Dodgers offense looks a lot better. You know, Giants offense is pretty banged up, and I'm a huge Giants fan. They're my team. So, you know, I know them pretty well. And their offense is pretty banged up right now without Pence, without Belt. Posey hasn't, you know, really gotten it going yet. So it's really, they've got Posey, Pagan, and then some slappy contact hitters. You know, like I said, I love Panic. I did his price. But, you know, it's a bunch of slappy contact hitters. I don't know if they really have a great chance of putting much on the board against Shields. And the Padres, you know, that off-season makeover, their offense is not what it was last year. You know, last year it was the auto-stream pitchers against the Padres and you'll win. You know, this year it's a little tricky. They've got a couple guys like Upton and Kemp have some pretty crazy platoon splits. They hit lefties really well. And while I expect Bumgarner to go out and have an overall good game, you know, there are a couple guys in that lineup who can hurt him. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to see that game be like 1-1 or 2-2 in the seventh inning, either pitcher coming away with a win. You know, but Bumgarner and Shields both out by the sixth inning because both those lineups can work pitch counts and get pitchers out of there. So, you know, I'd rather pay the extra for Kershaw and, you know, think about 7-8 innings, 8-10 strikeouts and a win versus Bumgarner, who might have, you know, he might throw 6 scoreless innings but be out by pitch count.
All right, let's move. Oh, James Shields. Do you like Shields as a cash pick or a GPP pick on DraftKings? And then, and what about? I guess we could talk about FanDuel. I play primarily on DraftKings, so if I lean DraftKings heavy, sorry about that. But we should be talking about FanDuel because it's most people play there.
Yeah, I like both sites. I'll say. So there's actually a bigger salary gap between Shields and Bumgarner on FanDuel. It's a 1,300 salary gap, and I think that makes Shields a little more attractive. But of course the win is also more important on FanDuel and it's hard to predict him coming away with one. So, you know, I don't know. I like them both. I think they'll both probably pitch pretty decent games, but I think that I think it's easier to project more successful games for both Kershaw and Hamels than it is for Bumgarner and Shields. You know, Hamels was priced right in between Bumgarner and Shields on DraftKings. He's $800 cheaper than Bumgarner on FanDuel, and I prefer Hamels.
Okay, let's move on to the next game here, and then we'll hit some value plays. Sorry about that. Toronto and Baltimore, 8 over is the over-under on this game. Aaron Sanchez facing off against one of the worst pitchers ever, Ubaldo Jimenez, who can occasionally have a good game, but Ubaldo Jimenez is terrible. We're not targeting either of these pitchers in cash games. What about GPPs? Do you like either of them?
No, absolutely not. You know, Ubaldo tends to have, I mean, he seems to have, what, 2 or 3 really good games a year? Those odds are too long for me to want to pay up for. I mean, in that price range, I'd prefer Jimmy Nelson's odds to Ubaldo's, but I'm not really that attracted to any of the lower-end pitchers today. So, yeah, I'm not a fan.
All right. Let's hit these last two games. Houston is at Texas, 8.5 over. It's a line here. Texas is favored. Roberto Hernandez up against Giovanni Gallardo. I know that you like Gallardo. I don't like Gallardo, but but that's okay because I don't like him as a season-long pitcher. But, you know, everybody has really good games, and you like Gallardo tonight, correct?
Yeah, you know, Gallardo's a guy that just flies under the radar a lot. He's 7,000 on DraftKings. You know, I don't – he's a little bit more – let's see, I've got to see where's his price. He's 7,600 on FanDuel, which I don't think is a good play. Because FanDuel, you also have less money overall to make your team with. But DraftKings, he's 7,000 even. And, you know, Texas is pretty heavily favored. He's an average pitcher. But he did put up a 3.5 ERA last year. You know, his strikeouts have dipped a little bit. He's turned into a little more of a pitch-to-contact ground ball pitcher. But, you know, Houston's a lineup that swings for the fences. They can rack up strikeouts in a hurry. And, you know, they do have a hard time against ground ball pitchers. You know, the guys that I'm scared of against Houston are fly ball pitchers because, they've got all these guys that strike out a ton that can, you know, put one out easy. So, you know, I tend to be a little warier of fly ball pitchers, but, you know, go for ground ball pitchers against the Astros. And, again, Texas is heavily favored. Texas, I expect to score a lot of runs tonight. I'd take the over on this game if I were, you know, betting on the line. So, yeah, I think, you know, if you're going to go with Kershaw, you have to find a value pitcher to go with him. So I think that Gallardo is the best option for a pairing.
Okay. Gallardo's the guy, Matt says. I'm skeptical, but I trust Matt.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right. Kansas City.
I mean, you know, the other option is, you could go for Doug Fister at 7,800, but you're gonna pay. It's gonna hurt your lineup. You know, your lineup with the Kershaw Gallardo build is pretty is pretty limited already, and it's gonna really hurt to go down to, you know, $800 more to get Pfister.
Kansas City takes on the Angels tonight. Jeremy Guthrie against Jared Weaver, 7.5 under. Los Angeles is favored in this game. Guthrie is not a good pitcher. Jared Weaver is, his peripherals don't match what he's done the past couple of years. His strikeout rate's fallen. But, you know, I think this is a decent matchup for Weaver. Are you playing him anywhere in cash or GPPs?
I'll probably have a little exposure to him in a GPP because he's the kind of pitcher who just, you know, he'll spin gems sometimes. And what it really comes down to with me for Weaver is, can he get strikeouts? You know, can he get strikeouts to run the score up? And Kansas City is really hard to strike out. Last year they struck out the fewest of any team in the majors. And, you know, even if your pitcher got a win, you might end up with a line that was like 6 innings, 2 strikeouts. And, you know, if you're paying up for an expensive pitcher, that's not so good. You know, Weaver's only 8K on DraftKings, so he's kind of in the middle of the range. So I think he makes a decent GPP play. He's 8,500 on FanDuel, also kind of mid-range. So I think he's an okay GPP play. You know, he's probably fifth or so on my list of pitchers to target today.
I might consider, I don't know, we'll see what happens here between 6 and 7, a GPP of Weaver and Pfister, or maybe Hamels and Weaver. But we'll see what happens. We still have a little bit of time. Josh Pegley just hit a single. Glad I played him this afternoon. The afternoon slate, the tough afternoon slate on DraftKings. Prices were just wild this afternoon. So I'm cashing right now, but we'll see how that ends up.
Yeah, pricing has been weird. It's been tough. I'm a big fan of Pegley against lefties.
It's like any team that you want to stack, they just inflated the prices. I mean, because Miguel Cabrera was 4,700 today, and Ortiz was 5,300, I think, and Jose Abreu was 5,700, and there were like four or five. LaRoche was in the five. It was over 5,000.
Yeah, LaRoche was 5,300. Of course, LaRoche hit a home run.
Yeah, he did. But the it was weird because any game with a high over under, it seemed like all the players were just, the prices were inflated. That's why I went with Anthony Goes this afternoon, because he was only priced at 2,900 on DraftKings, and he's been hot,
yep,
and he ended up leading off the game with a home run. So it paid off in his first at bat. So
Anthony Goes, Brock Holt, great value picks today.
Yeah, and I didn't have any Brock Holt anywhere. I wish I did. He put up, I think, 22 points on DraftKings. All right, let's look at some value hitters tonight. Okay, let's finish with the pitchers real quick. So
okay.
Give me the pitchers that you're targeting in cash games. Listen closely if you're listening live here. Pitchers you're targeting in cash games, and then pitchers you're targeting in GPPs.
So in cash, Kershaw, Hamels, Pfister, Gallardo.
And in GPPs?
And then GPPs, you know, those guys, the same guys. Maybe mix in a little bit of Shields, a little bit of Weaver, a little bit of Nelson, and my one crazy Kyle Kendrick stack.
Okay, Kyle Kendrick. He
goes off. Like, my general philosophy is I try not to do, you know, hitters have a lot more variance, so I try to identify 5 or 6 pitchers a night and just, you know, limit my exposure there and get my variance through hitters, as opposed to trying to get a ton of variance through being exposed to every pitcher on the slate.
All right, so let's talk hitters here. Let's just talk value. Let's talk value hitters here. You have prices, I assume, in front of you for both FanDuel and DraftKings. So just, you know, tell us your value hitters. If you want to just give us hitters in general, or if you want to do it by position, it's up to you. But just give us some hitters in general, and they're, you know, value hitters on DraftKings and FanDuel both. Floor is yours.
Yeah, okay. So let's start with catcher. I'm a big fan of Francisco Cervelli, you know, batting second for a powerful lineup. That's a great place to be, and he's got a great lineup spot. And he's an okay hitter. He's not a great hitter, but, you know, that's what you're going to get for that kind of price. But the spot's right and the opportunity's right. Nick Hundley is actually only 3,800, which is not bad given DraftKings pricing for someone who's hitting at Coors Field today, so he's a decent option. If you want to go deeper value, I really like Caleb Joseph. He won quite a bit of money for me last year when he went on the home run spree, where he hit a home run like every day for a week or something. You know, he's like swing for the fences kind of guy. He's 3,100 on DraftKings. He's, let's see, sorry, one second. He's 2,200 minimum price on FanDuel. It's pretty hard to find a guy with decent home run upside for that kind of price. Now, of course, if you want to go really crazy on DraftKings, you can get Drew Butera for $2,000, who's starting for the Angels. That's a real Hail Mary kind of play.
Yeah.
Good luck to you if you do it. Let's see. Moving on. First baseman. Kendrys Morales is 3,500 on DraftKings, which is, you know, that's a pretty ridiculously low price for a guy of his caliber. He's got a tough matchup, but you know, the way DraftKings has been doing pricing lately is that they swing pricing dramatically day to day based on the matchup. So, you know, sometimes you get guys that are really cheap, but they've got, you know, they're not up against the worst pitcher of the day. But, you know, Weaver's hittable. So I like that as a punt play at first base. I don't really believe in Tehran, so I kind of like Michael Kadire at 3,900 as well. Let's see, Michael Kadire doesn't have first base eligibility on FanDuel. And Steve Pierce, 4,300. He hit second for a powerful lineup for the Orioles. You know, 4,300 is actually kind of a decent value play at first base. You know, it's an expensive position. but he hit second for the Orioles. Lots of home run pop, crappy pitcher, great matchup. And, you know, if you want to even go a little bit higher, at 4,600, you have the trio of Pujols, Adrian Gonzalez, and Adam Lind. I prefer Gonzalez out of the three of those. They're all the same price. Their prices are a little bit different on FanDuel. On FanDuel, you can get Adam Lind for only 3,700. Pujols and Gonzalez are a lot more. But I like Lind. Lind is a great platoon matchup against the righty Worley. But on DraftKings, I think I'd go Gonzalez over him. And 4,600 is a pretty decent price for a good first baseman. Second base. Let's see. My favorite one here is Joe Panik at 3,200 and at 2,400, I believe, on DraftKings. Or on FanDuel, yeah, that's right. You know, he's a great bargain play. Like I said before, he's a guy who puts the ball in play, you know, every at-bat. He's hard to strike out. He's also got shortstop eligibility on DraftKings, so you can play him there if you wanted. You know, great opportunity for a decent lineup for a guy who puts the ball in play and could come up with a couple of hits. Matt Duffy is a guy that I wish was hitting higher in the lineup because he's been just on fire and been, you know, he's done nothing but hit since the Giants called him up. He's 2,900, but he's batting 7th or 8th, so I'm probably going to not have much exposure to him. I might throw him in the lineup if I need to make the salary work. And finally, another one of my punt plays at second base that I love is Jace Peterson. Brave second baseman. He's 3,300 on DraftKings and 2,200 min price on FanDuel. Hit second in the lineup. You know, the Braves aren't a great lineup, but they're going up against Dylan G, who's a really hittable pitcher, and he's got Freddie Freeman behind him to drive him in. He's fast. He can steal a base. So, you know, I think he's a decent value pick as well. Third base is pretty tough for value today. Peterson has third base eligibility. You could look at a guy like a Mike Moustakas as a GPP play. 3,600 on DraftKings. I think he's 2,900. Yeah, 2,900 on FanDuel. You know, he's just had such a miserable couple of seasons that I feel it's hard for me to trust him. But he's been off to a nice start this year, and you know, maybe this is his year. So you know, he's not a bad GPP play. I also like David Wright at 3,900 on DraftKings. He's more expensive on FanDuel, but on DraftKings he's 3,900, and you know, he's healthy. He's hitting second for the Mets. Yeah, they don't have the easiest matchup in the world, but 3,900 for a, you know, for a guy of his caliber, that's a bargain. So I'm gonna have a good bit of exposure to Wright. Let's see, shortstop. So Panik is eligible at shortstop. So is Duffy if you wanted to go that route. There's not really a lot of good value here. you know, there's a couple cheap guys like Barnes, Ahmed, Espinosa, they're all up against really tough pitchers. So, you know, I might slot Panik into second or to shortstop if I need him. Jake Smolinski is kind of interesting. He's going up against Houston. He's batting fifth. He's really a guy I normally target against left-handed pitchers because he's a pretty extreme platoon split guy. But for 3,400 on DraftKings and I don't even know his price on FanDuel. It's cheap. I think he's actually got second base eligibility on FanDuel. Oh, he's an out. They've got shortstop eligibility on DraftKings, and that's, you know, so I'll probably take advantage of him on DraftKings now, some exposure there, because 3,400, he's a guy that's got pop, going up against a crappy pitcher, and, you know, in a lineup that's expected to score runs. Normally, I look for platoon advantage in my value picks, but I'll have some exposure to Splinski. I like his power. Let's see. Finally, outfield. If you want to be really brave, you could play Taylor against against Cole Hamels, the leadoff hitter for the Phillies. For the Nats right now. He's a platoon split guy. He rips apart lefties. He's 2,500 on FanDuel. He's 3,100 on DraftKings. Not a cash game play by any means. You don't want to do cash game plays against pitchers like Hamels, but he's definitely the kind of guy that you can put in a GPP. I kind of like Pagan at 3,400. Again, Shields is a good pitcher, but Pagan's a good hitter. 3,400 is a great price for a guy who puts the ball in play. Petco shouldn't hurt him because he's not a home run hitter. He's a line drive hitter. He's fast when he gets on base, and 3,400 is just really cheap for him. And then getting up a little bit higher, I don't hate Nick Markakis at 3,700. I think he's been overrated as a hitter, but he's solid. He's not great, but 3,700 is decent. Where I really like the outfield value is actually in the 4K range, which doesn't sound like value anymore, but given DraftKings current prices, it is. Dalton Pompey hitting second for the for the Blue Jays looks great so far. Powerful lineup, should score a lot of runs against Ubaldo Jimenez. Travis Snyder's hitting fifth for the Orioles at 4,100. Another great lineup opportunity, driving a lot of runs in that spot. He looks solid as a five hole hitter. Gaza's 4,200. So I don't see a lot of need to go up into the really high priced outfielders today. Again, in GPPs, I'll have exposure to them because those all the guys like, Dickerson and Cargo, they can go off and score 30 points, and if you don't have them, you're not going to win a GPP. But there's a lot of really safe picks around the 4K range for outfield right now, and that's probably where I'll spend most of my outfield money.
What do you think about Ryan Zimmer? Long-winded. That's all right. I just sat back and listened.
Yeah.
That's okay. What do you think about Ryan Zimmerman 4,200 on DraftKings? He has a pretty good – I know we don't look at BVP a lot because it doesn't really matter all that much, but there's a large sample size against Cole Hamels, 75 at-bats. He's batting .267 against them. What do you think about Ryan Zimmerman tonight? Do you plan him anywhere?
I don't hate him. I prefer Wright, but I haven't done all my GPP lineups, which is what I'll be doing frantically after this show. But I'll probably have some exposure to him. He's one of those elite hitters like Joey Votto. And he's been injured, and so people have forgotten how good of a hitter he is. But he's the kind of guy who can put a home run out against anybody. And, I think that 4,200 is actually a pretty good price for him. Like I said, more exposure to Wright. But he's a guy I'll find room for in a couple lineups.
He's hit three home runs off Hamels as well. I guess I should note that. But solid numbers off of Hamels with a large sample size. So it's something to keep in mind.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right on BVP, right? Like that's a stat that people get obsessed about. And they say, oh, this guy has three hits and seven at-bats. But Zimmerman actually has enough history with Hamels that you can take something away from it.
I think Zimmerman's a solid play tonight. I think he could be, in line for, a couple of hits, maybe a home run. If he does that, then he's hitting value for you. All right, let's talk about stacks real quick before we get out of here. It's just after 6:00. Get out of here in a few minutes. What teams are we stacking tonight in GPPs?
I mean, the most obvious ones in the world are going to be the Rockies and the Cubs. Those are the kind of stacks that it's really hard. They're popular for a reason because they're likely to score a lot of runs, but they're also really hard to differentiate yourself. So I'm going to have a lot of exposure to them, but probably not full team, like six-player stacks, because those are going to be really common. So I'm going to look to mix them in with, some other stacks. Maybe do like some split stacks, like, four players from one team, three players from another. You can do 4-4 on FanDuel. On DraftKings, you need hitters from three different teams. So I'll probably do, 4-3-1, that kind of thing. And where I'm looking to differentiate from the Rockies and the Cubs, the Orioles, the Blue Jays, those are the other two big targets for me. Both those pitchers just do not look good, and I think they're really, really easy to exploit, and that should be a high-scoring game. The Dodgers, I'm looking to score a lot of runs. Archie Bradley just seems like he seems like one of those really talented pitchers, but who just can't put it all together. And I'm sure someday he will. You know, I hope he does. He's an exciting pitcher to watch. But, you know, he's the kind of pitcher who is likely to get obliterated in his first start. You know, first major league start, stressful. And most pitchers get really hit hard their first time out, and I'm expecting that to happen to Bradley. And finally, this might sound weird because I recommended Gallardo pitching against them, but I'm going to have some exposure to the Astros. You know, like I said, when I was talking about Gallardo, they're a swing for the fences kind of lineup. They usually will score, you know, zero or one runs, but they're also possible putting up 10. You know, guys like Chris Carter, Jed Lowry hit a home run last night, didn't he? Or was he last night or the day before?
Yeah.
They've got a lot of power in that lineup, and though, you know, they strike out all the time, they're not the kind of guys for cash games, but I'm going to mix in some exposure to them, and I also expect them to be somewhat lightly owned, so that'll give me some differentiation.
All right. Well, there you have it. There's the stacks. There's the hitting values. Anything else we need to know as we head into the 7 o'clock games here in just about 55 minutes?
Oh, man. Well, it's been an hour. I think we've covered it. It's too late.
It's been about 45 minutes after our technical difficulties. Yeah. But, yeah, we'll call it a good hour. We'll call it a good hour. All right, Matt. Well, I appreciate you coming on. And, I mean, you're the star of this show, so I should mention that. I'm just here to host and give you some back and forth banter. But good luck tonight, everybody. Matt will be on hopefully next week. We're going to try to do this every Saturday, and we'll see how it goes. We might expand 2 days. I don't know. We'll see how it goes. But give us your feedback. Let me know what you think of the show at AskGrotoBaseball on Twitter or FantasySquads@gmail.com. You can always hit us up there. All right. Well, let's hope for a good night here, and hopefully we can cash everywhere. Kershaw's the play at pitcher. Pay up for him. He's expensive, but we got to pay up for him tonight, it sounds like. So follow Matt on Twitter. What's your Twitter handle, Matt?
Xandamere, Xandamere.
Okay. Follow Matt on Twitter. You can hit him up with DFS questions on there, too, if you want. He'll help you out there. So, all right. Well, we'll be back hopefully next Saturday here and do another show. And I wanted to touch on Sunday slate, but maybe we'll start that next week. You know, maybe half the show we'll do for Saturday and then half on Sunday, and then put some lineups together for that. So, all right. Have a good night. Cash. Hopefully, cash. We want you to cash. And we'll talk to you next week. Be sure to listen to the Ask Roto Baseball livecast this Wednesday night at 8 p.m. on this very Blog Talk channel. Good night, everybody.
Night.